Praise God. I'm thankful to be here this morning. Thankful to serve a great God. That law is even more unchanging than the law of gravity. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will never pass away. His unchanging faithfulness will never change. And I'm thankful that we can depend on that, we can rely on that, and build our lives upon that hope. Ask for your prayers this morning. We need the Lord's help. I'd like to begin with a passage in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark.
Praise the Lord.
Mark chapter 10. So many stories of Jesus. Of the times that He had compassion and He looked out upon a multitude as sheep without a shepherd, and He was moved with compassion. He saw the needs. He looked beyond just the outward, and He saw the aches of the heart. He saw the needs of the mind and of the spirit and of the body, and He was able, by looking on that, to know, even when man didn't realize themselves, what they needed. And He was moved with compassion upon that, and He healed all manner of sickness and disease. Yeah. He ministered to all kinds of people in affliction and in oppression. Word gets around of a man like that. No doubt that the word and the news would travel of a man that's able to open the blinded eyes, of a man that's able to heal those that aren't able to walk and they rise and walk again, that they're able to take up their bed and walk. I can only imagine that the word and the news would travel very quickly. And I believe it did to a man that we read here named Bartimaeus. Mark the 10th chapter. Verse 46, they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you notice what it called this man? It didn't just call him Bartimaeus, but he was known as blind Bartimaeus. That was just who he was. He was a blind man. It was a man that it defined who he was. It was his identity. And everywhere that he went and everything that he tried to do, he couldn't get away from who he was. "I'm a blind man, and I have to deal with that, and I go through life trying my best to cope with this." With no doubt a sense of realization and hopelessness that I'll always be blind Bartimaeus. That I'm always, for the rest of my life, going to deal with this handicap that I have. But this man had heard word of a Jesus of Nazareth. And he had heard of that, the miracles that He was able to perform. And I can see in this man a glimmer of hope. There was a ray of hope that came into him that made him respond. Whenever he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out. He saw that this is my opportunity. This is my window of opportunity. This is my time. If ever I'm going to change who I am, if ever I'm going to get free from this handicap of being blind, it's now. There's never going to be a better opportunity than right now. So it caused him to say, "Forget what other people think. Forget how improper this looks. I want help. I want healing. I want to be delivered from the identity of being blind Bartimaeus." And so he began to cry out. And others around, of course, with so many reasons and so many things that would hold him back. "Bartimaeus, just shut up. Just please, just go away." And he cried out the more, saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Do you know that is a cry that always gets the Master's attention? Amen. That is a cry of a heart that cries out to Him that he can never turn a deaf ear to. But it gets the Lord's attention. And the Lord stopped and He listened to that man's cry. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. To the man that had, was beset by this identity of being blind, that was no doubt in his mind, was under the weight of it, and the realization that it's just who I'll always be. Bartimaeus, be of good comfort. The Lord heard your cry, and He's calling for you. He's calling your name, and this is your opportunity. You know, I don't believe Bartimaeus took very long to get up. I don't believe he wasted a whole lot of time getting up. This is my chance. The Lord stopped and He's over there waiting for me and He's calling my name. You know, Jesus surely could have turned back and gone to Bartimaeus. But He said, Bartimaeus, arise. I'm calling you. You know, we have a responsibility and a part to play. Whenever we call out unto the Lord and we want the Lord to hear our prayer, the Lord says, rise up. Yes. You're going to have to be willing to get up from where you are. You're going to have to be willing to say, I'm not just going to sit here where I've always been. I'm going to take action. I'm going to respond unto the cry that I hear, unto the invitation that I hear of Jesus calling my name. I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to rise up from the place that I am and I'm going to go and meet Jesus. And I think of the prodigal son whenever he got up and he came to his senses. He came to himself and he started back to Father's house. There was a father that was waiting. There was a father that had arms outstretched. It was calling and inviting and hoping that the time would come. But there was a responsibility that the prodigal son had. You've got to rise up. You've got to be the one to take the step to go back. You can't expect the Father to come pull you out of the miry pit of the pig pen and drag you back home, because at first chance you'll be gone again. But it's got to be something that awakens within you that says, I want to go back. I want to go back to Father's house. There's something that draws me to go. That drawing is the Lord calling. And I am so thankful today that the Lord still calls. The Lord, I believe, in this time, in this day, is still calling for those that want healing. For those that want their identity changed. Their lot in life to be turned around. The Lord is still calling our name. John the 11th chapter. John 11, at a time whenever Lazarus had died and Mary and Martha were dealing with the grief of it, and you can read in their words and their response to Jesus, it was almost as if they felt a little bit betrayed by Jesus. Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. This wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't be here. It seems like and it feels like that you've forsaken us, Jesus. You weren't here when I needed you the most. You know, the Lord understands our questions. The Lord understands whenever I just don't understand. Whenever I've got questions and I've got doubts and I just can't sort out all the pieces that are before me. You know, Jesus didn't just walk away and said they should have known better than that. How many times have I dined with Mary and Martha? And here they are wondering if I still care about them. But instead it says that Jesus, whenever He came back. John chapter 11. Martha was the first to rise up and to go meet Jesus. And verse 21, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. But I'd like to skip down here to the 28th verse. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. You know, Mary, I don't know for sure what Mary was doing, but there was some reason that Mary didn't rise up whenever she heard that Jesus was coming. Mary was still back in the house, but the Lord was calling for her. The Lord, despite her grief and her feelings of betrayal and her questions, said, go send for Mary. Go send for her. I want married. You know the Lord, Isaiah 45, the scripture says in verse 4, that the Lord hath called thee by name. You know, this isn't just a very impersonal thing where we get a slip in the mail and we walk up to the desk and they say, all right, well, what's your 10-digit invitation number, and read it off, and we receive some benefit from the Lord. You remember the parable of the 99 sheep?
Oh, yeah.
That Jesus left the 99 because He looked out among them and He recognized. Of 99, there's one that's missing. It's not complete, it's not whole, and there's something within the heart of the shepherd that says 99% is not enough. 99% is not good enough. I want the one that is missing. That's the heart of the Master. That the heart of the Master says, I'm going to go and search for the one that's missing. You know, I can see that shepherd going through and knows him by name. He spends so much time with the sheep that he's out there calling the sheep by name. Out there looking in the highways and the hedges and the brambles and calling the name, listening for some response to the call of his name. I'm thankful today that the Lord calls our name. The Lord knows us personally, and He comes and sends a personal invitation to every one of us.
Amen.
Won't you rise up? Won't you rise and come to me? I have something for you. And so Mary rose up, and she went, and they beheld one of the greatest miracles that was ever performed. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Very familiar scripture, and one on the wall beside me. Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a very personal invitation for an intimate relationship with the Lord. Yeah. To be able to have a communion where there's not enmity. How can two, the scripture says, walk together unless they be agreed? How are two able to have a close communion if there's enmity between the two? If I'm not at peace with the Lord, that's not a relationship that says I can sit down and sup with the Lord. And He with me, and we commune together. But the Lord's desire with every single one is to be able to have a close and a personal and a revealed relationship with all of us.
Amen.
That throughout our lives we can have a relationship with the Lord. That I can commune with Him personally in my quiet times. It's not just the relationship of the minister or of the Sunday school teacher or of my parents that I can call for prayer. But I can sup with the Lord. And that's the Lord's heart and desire for everyone. But do you notice the requirement? Oh, the great power and responsibility the Lord has given us by giving us a will. The power and ability to choose and to say no to the Lord.
Right.
Now the Lord will never break down the door, remove the hinges, use a battering ram to say, I know this is what is best for you.
Right.
And eventually you're going to thank me for it. But I've got to break the door down first. Oh, how many times in our altar calls can you almost feel the battle that's going on? That you can almost feel the drawing and the wooing and the enemy fighting and opposing in every way he can, and souls that are in the balance. The knocking at the door is the wooing of the Holy Spirit. It is conviction. Conviction is an invitation. It's not just an opportunity of placing guilt on somebody, but it is the Spirit knocking on the door. Won't you open up? I can't do it for you, but all my heart longs to.
Amen.
The Lord wooing and drawing and calling. Hosea, the 11th chapter, says that I drew them with cords of a man. With bands of love. You know, that's how the Lord calls after all of us. He doesn't stand as an oppressive master. He doesn't try to coerce or force His will on any of us. But instead, He draws us with bands of love. The song says, "What heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly? The offering of thy soul." You know, there's something in number 233 in our book, "Won by Dying Love." It says, "Thy love is breaking my heart." There's something about the love that the Lord came and demonstrated and showed to us. Think of Isaiah. I believe it's the 5th chapter where He says, "I have planted a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and I hedged it, and I removed the stones from about it." And He said, "What more could I have done than what I've already done? I've done everything that I know to show you that I love you, to show you that I care about you, to show you that I desire to have a personal first name relationship with you." But it is for us to respond to the call. For us to hear, to feel the draw, and to respond to it. Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter. You know, we read the verse there in Revelation of opening the door, and we think that's a good scripture for sinners. And it is. Those that have put Jesus from without, that He's not been invited and opened up to come in and to live within their heart. He calls today. He calls to open the door and to allow Him to come in and take residence. Do you know, I don't believe the Lord stops knocking at that point. I believe that the Lord has a way of calling after each one of us by name. Song of Solomon chapter 5. This is an allegory, as we understand it, of the love of Christ and His church. Of one that gave Himself for us. That gave His life as a ransom for us. To win us. To draw us. It's known as the bride and the bridegroom that we see in the New Testament. That He's coming back for the one that He gave His life for. To redeem. To call her. To call us that are redeemed unto Himself. Oh, what a love that the Lord has for us. You can see throughout the language in the Song of Solomon a love of two that are very close, that are very much in love. You can read here throughout the first few verses. Oh, we'll read here in verse 2. "I sleep, but my heart awaketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night." The man that's standing without the gates, and he's calling unto his love. He's calling unto the bride that is within the house. And she was asleep, but she said, "I heard His voice." There's something about the voice of the Lord that calls so tenderly, that calls so lovingly, that doesn't send with it a sense of hopelessness. We can differentiate the voice of the enemy that comes along and tries to oppress and tries to make us feel like there's no hope for me, that I'm always going to be blind Bartimaeus. And the voice of one I hear that says, "I'm calling for you. Clint, rise up. I love you." And there should be something within us that stirs in our heart. I recognize that voice. I know it's one that loves and cares for me. Oh, it was a relationship of a very personal and familiar nature. They had their little nicknames for one another. My undefiled, my love, my dove. There's a relationship and a caring here. But he stood without. And his voice called out. But I want you to notice verse 3. It says, "I have put off my coat." The woman speaking here. "How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" The Lord in His love comes along to us even after we're saved. Even whenever we have a relationship with Him. At different times the Lord has come along to me and I've heard Him calling, "Clint, I want you to come closer to me. Yes. Glenn, there's something I want you to do here. I have something. And whenever the Lord calls, folks, there's just a drawing that comes with it. Yes. I have something to offer for you. But you know, it requires something of me. Yes. I can't just say, all right, Lord, just dump it on me. But I've got to rise up. I've got to be willing to say, Lord, I hear your voice. And I'm going to respond to your voice. But there are so many excuses. There are so many inconveniences. Oh, but this. But I've already taken off my clothes, and I've got my night clothes, and I've already washed my feet. And then if I get up, my feet are going to get dirty. And in other words, I'm very comfortable. I hear the Lord calling, and I hear His voice, and I recognize it, and there's something within me that stirs and says, yes, oh, I love that voice. I love that voice, and I want to respond to it, but I'm just not ready. I'm just so tired. Folks, we live in a very complacent time. We live in a very lethargic time today. It is going to take something for us to rise up and break the orbit of complacency. Amen. That orbit that will draw us, that I just continue going in a circle. Amen. And there's something that constrains me that I just can't break free. Amen. From this loop or this circle that I keep going in. It's going to require a determined effort on my part that I'm going to rise up. And I'm going to respond to the voice of the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's going to inconvenience me. It doesn't matter if I'm going to have to sacrifice to get there. Lord, I want to respond to your voice. So she was in a place here trying to decide. I like it and I hear his voice. But am I going to rise up when I'm so tired? When there's part of me that says just roll back over and go to sleep. And yet I still hear that voice calling. I'm so thankful that the Lord in His love and in His compassion still calls. Whenever I get myself into a place that I'm in trouble, I get into a place that I'm not as close to the Lord as I need to be, that if I'll listen, I can hear a voice that's calling me.
Yeah.
So she first heard his voice. She was in a place of indecision. But it says, my beloved put in his hands by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. In other words, there was something that so deeply stirred me whenever he continued to call. Whenever I could see his hand and I could recognize, it's my Lord, it's the one that I love. There was something within that just broke down. The last defenses, the last excuses that I had. Oh, how easy it is to stay in status quo. It is so easy for me to go throughout my life and just get my little nest made, and I'm so satisfied right here, and I get just enough. I can hear the Lord's voice and it comforts me and it soothes me, but there's a little bit of a distance. I've still put the Lord kind of in the other room. And the Lord's saying, won't you let me come in? But isn't there a place within your heart that you haven't quite opened up to me yet? There's a song we sing sometimes. There's a room in my heart that even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there. I didn't want anyone to know. But it says one day the Lord came along. And He said, I want to go in your hidden place. Oh, it said He was so ashamed. There were things I don't want the Lord to know. But in love, He entered that door. When I handed Him the key and whenever I allowed Him and gave Him permission, Lord, I invite You to come in. Then said He cleaned it up, and now there's no longer a place in my heart that I'm ashamed of. There's no longer some place that I have reserved just unto myself. But I answer the call. I'd like to look at the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14 and the 16th verse says, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, there's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be, in my mind, a more convenient time. There's always going to be a reason why I'm just not able right now to rise up. I'm just not able, I'm just not ready to break out of this rut that I'm in. Maybe later. And there are so many excuses or reasons that seem in my mind to be perfectly reasonable. Lord, you know I have this to take care of. You know I have this responsibility. Lord, you know I'm busy. You know all the things that I have to take care of, Lord. There are so many reasons why I haven't been able to have a close relationship with you. Lord, you understand, don't you? But the invitation went out. The call went out, lay aside the excuses. Yeah. Lay aside, hear the call, and respond to it regardless of all the excuses and the things that would encumber us about. Yeah. Isn't it one of the things that Jesus warned us about? Lest the cares of life would be a snare, that they would become entangled with the snares of life. May the Lord help us this morning to answer the call. To recognize the voice of the Lord. Whether I'm a sinner and I've rejected the Lord and He's calling me to open the door of my heart, or I'm in a place where the Lord is calling my name, saying, I have something more for you. Aren't you willing to partake of it? But you're going to have to rise up. You're going to have to hear and respond unto my voice, unto the call and the invitation. You remember Jesus after He rose from the dead, and the women that met Him there, and the message that He sent back, go tell my disciples and Peter. The Lord had a special invitation, a special call for the one that had betrayed Him, for the one that He no doubt knew had spent the last 3 days in regret and in shame and remorse and wishing I could have, and no doubt feelings of worthlessness and why did I do it and why did I betray the Lord? Go sin. Go tell Peter. Go send an invitation to Peter. Hope isn't cut off. You know, no matter how many times we failed, no matter how many times we have fallen, and I've tried before, and I get to a place that I wonder, is there really anything to it? Can I really ever get the victory? Can I ever really see clearly again? Folks, I want to tell you, if you hear the voice, the answer is yes. Amen. If you hear the voice calling for you, it is an invitation to come and receive the help that you need to your soul. The victory to be able to rise up in your life. To be able to be in a place that I can sup and commune with the Lord. The Lord calls to us all. But one of the most frightening things I can ever imagine is when I ignore the voice long enough. Whenever I put it aside and I say, well, no, I've got some oxen I need to tend to. Maybe later. Lord, maybe I've got some other things right now. Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so, isn't it good enough right where I'm at, Lord? And eventually, that voice gets fainter and fainter and fainter. Folks, if the Lord doesn't call, there's no hope. If the Lord doesn't accept my Father, draw them. There's no man that can come unto me unless there is by the Spirit of God, where He calls and He talks and He pricks my heart and He calls me, not only just by emotion, by awakening a realization within me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I feel You calling after me. And there is hope. Thank the Lord for His call.
Amen.
The Lord called His disciples. Once, an old tax collector, fisherman, the Lord sent a call out to them. I need you. Rise up and leave what you're doing. Rise up and leave your old ways and be willing to follow after me. Because I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you to fulfill. Oh Lord, how could you need me? You know, the Lord comes along at times in our lives calling and saying, there's a deeper place that I have for you. There's a deeper place of consecration that I want you to be willing to say, yes, Lord. But you have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm open to your dealings with me. Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, what do you want me to do? What place do you want me to fill? Whenever the voice of the Lord begins to call, may the Lord help us that we would hear and answer.
Amen.
And so this morning, the Lord calls, and it is for us today in this meeting. Whenever the Lord talks with my heart, whenever I hear that sweet, still, small voice, that compelling feeling within my heart, that drawing and that conviction and understanding that I have a place in my life that I need to take care of, that the Lord is calling for, a place in my life that I hear Him if I'll stop and listen long enough. All the world is drowning out the voice of the Lord. The world is filling their minds with so much noise and commotion and just surrounding and filling their lives with so much that it cuts off almost the ability to hear the still small voice. But may the Lord help us to be in a place that I'd say, Lord, I want to hear. Lord, I want to hear. And when I hear that voice, that I would respond, because the responsibility is entirely on me.
Yes.
Folks, if the Lord is a stranger to us, it's not because He wants to be. It's because I need to open the door.
Amen.
It's because I need to respond to His call and to His voice that calls. Let's stand and have a song this morning. May God bless each one. Amen.
442.